Going to have a strange message this morning. People say, what's new? I had a message prepared. God always knows who will be here. So I had a message prepared talking about the four events in the last week of Jesus' life. And honestly, I wrestled with this because I think it's a message that'd really be helpful to a lot of you. It's been helpful to me personally. The last week of Jesus' life, I realize this isn't Easter time, but the last week of Jesus' life, four events that were key that I believe we also have to go through. And I have that message, and I planned all week on giving it. But I had an experience this week that I felt trumped that message. And it's actually a deer hunting story. So, ladies, don't go to sleep. Guys, don't say, oh no. I am, as you know, maybe not courageous at everything, but I'm fairly courageous that when I feel something, I go for it. I just go for it. And ever since I had this experience, I had a very, Brian, I had a very troubling, you hunt too, so it's bow season. And if you're anti-hunter, you'll just have to be patient and listen anyhow, because this has got good stuff in it. But I really believe that I was supposed to change for this morning, and I have no idea in this crowd who's going to be here. Now, there's basic people that are always here on the platform and that, but we have rotation due to the type of ministry we do. A lot of people are working every other week. All kind of things happen, and so you never know for sure what the mix will be. So it's not an easy group to speak to, even though of all the ministries in the last 37 years we've been in, I love this one the most. But I had a unusual experience, and I'm just going to tell it. You know me, I'm just going to tell it. What happened? But God spoke to me powerfully through this. And my wife's even curious because she knows she participated in this a little bit. Because I was hunting in a deer stand that is so close to the back of the house that she could see in the sunroom whether deer come across or not. We're blessed to live back off the road in a long lane. I do like to bow hunt and don't get a lot of opportunity to do that. I've only gone twice. Came in October 1st, and I had an experience that I just believe God wants me to share this morning, and we'll see what all I say. But it's a little bit of a strange message. I'm going to save the other one and plan to share it. Do keep me in prayer this week. I am taking some extra time for prayer. I am going to help Vince on things that he has a funeral this week, and I was originally going to take some vacation time this week, but I don't think I'm going to do that. But I am going to give extra time to prayer this week. I feel God's calling me to do that this week. I love the fall. Last Thursday, in our sunroom that God has blessed us with, and that I could easily have an ADD moment and talk about our sunroom, because I'm going to just have an ADD moment. I'm going to just tell you. I just think it's cool how God works. We wanted to add a sunroom to the back of our house, because we have a wooded area behind and we love nature and we wanted to add that. So we were saving up to do it, and we're like you, we live week to week, and you know, we were saving so we could do that. We felt God spoke to us that we were to give it to build a church in Haiti. So Pam and I talked, and about 6 years ago we thought we're going to take that money and that we were going to add our sunroom and we're going to give it to build a church in Haiti. We're just going to forget the sunroom. But when we gave it, the Lord spoke to me and said, you'll get your sunroom. Does anybody know that Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll add everything else to you? Okay. I wasn't doing it for that reason. They need a church in Haiti, and I'm not going to sit there and be spoiled in a sunroom, and they are without a church to worship in. So we gave the money. But God whispered to me and said, I'm going to give you that sunroom. Mike Francois, who is in Indianapolis this morning, dug the holes for the posts and the foundation. Our son, Tom, and his wife gave us a gift that bought all the framing material. Now, I didn't say anything about this. Our son Scott gave the money to put the roof on. My neighbor Glenn Hall, who's a cement contractor, came over and said, he's going to pour the floor for me. And I said, well, I'm going to help. He says, no, I don't mean to offend you, but I've been doing this for years. You just sit down and watch. I'm going to do it. And he poured the floor. A couple other friends pitched in, loaned us equipment. I took a week off to finish the inside. We ended up, Pam's mom and dad bought us, you ought to see the windows they bought us. Now, I was going to put some cheap, rinky-dink windows in it that were out of the modular home that burned when we had the fire and lost our home. And they had saved part of the house, and I had saved the windows and put it up on top of my barn, and I was going to use those windows. They bought us windows that there's no way we could have afforded. These windows are awesome. I mean, they're six-foot windows. You feel like you're outdoors. So anyway, when we were finishing that up, God spoke to me and said, you put me first, and I'm having fun with it, but you put me first. I'll provide not only what you need, but I know what you want. Keep your priorities right. Keep your priorities right. So that was a blessing. Thank you for letting me have a moment and share that. So we got our sunroom, and we sat in it often. And on Thursday, we were sitting in the sunroom, and we were like watching an outdoor life video. It was incredible. Mating season's coming for deer, and deer were just running like crazy. And I wasn't planning on hunting much, but you know, you get kind of fired up, Kevin, when you see them. And it's always a good thing when you see a buck and you see the rack first, because that means it's big. And this deer just kept running back and forth, running back and forth, running back and forth, running back and forth. And we're watching it all morning while we're studying and having our quiet time in the sunroom. And I'm thinking, mercy sakes, I've got to go hunting. Look, I've got to go hunting. This deer is nice. He is really nice. And it just keeps going on. He runs over to my neighbors, and then a doe comes back, and then he runs back over, and then he runs back over, and he's just showing that rack off. Just like it would look like a rocking chair on top of his head. Okay. So I thought, I got to go hunting. So the next morning, it's 18 degrees, and pardon my insanity, but I get up at 3:30 in the morning, and I take a no-scent shower with no-scent soap. I put on my clothes. Well, Pam and I had our prayer time in the sunroom, and Pam prayed specifically. Right, Pam? Give Tom a deer today, specifically. So we had a lot going on there. Pam, prayer, that I thought, well, it's in the bag. It's in the bag. Done deal. So we get done with our prayer time, and I have my little bit of breakfast, and then I go out and open my plastic bag that has all the clothes in it that I had washed in no-scent detergent. Okay? I'm going somewhere with this. If you're visiting, don't say, you got to be kidding me. I came to church this morning, and stay with me. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere with this. Okay. So I've had my no-scent shower, washed my hair in no-scent soap and to dissolve human scent. And incidentally, that stuff does work. I tested it and put silicone on my hand. Silicone smells very strong, like vinegar smell. And you spray it with no scent, and after it absorbs the odors within 30, 40 seconds, you can't smell the silicone. So I know that stuff absorbs human scent. So I took my no-scent shower. We had our prayer time. I'm getting ready. It's before daylight. It's 18 degrees. I think that's somewhere in the insanity column, maybe, to go up 3 hours in a tree stand when it's 18 degrees. I think that's probably crazy. But I'm fired up, okay? And I'm kind of thinking, Lord is going to maybe give me that buck. I'm thinking, perhaps. So after I get my stuff, warm stuff on, that I have in the bag that has been washed in no-scent detergent, I go out to the barn where I have my outer hunting clothes hanging. Now, there's a reason for that. I hang my outer hunting clothes in the barn above the horse stalls so they would smell like horses, because we have horses. And most people say, well, you don't want any scent. No, if you can fool them, that's all the better. And if you have a horse that's calm enough, like Cody was before he died, that you can ride to the deer stand, that's even better. Because deer aren't alarmed by a horse for some reason, and they can't seem to figure out, if you're sitting on them, they can't seem to make the difference there and figure that out. So I hang my outer hunting clothes in the barn above the horse stall so that they will smell like horses and hay and all of that, because the deer are used to horses. The deer go in and graze and go right past the horses, and the horses don't bother them. So I say to myself one day, hey, let's smell like horses, and we'll have more success. So I put on my outer stuff. I get my crossbow. It's still dark, and I go out, and I lead Jake, my big palomino. He's 16'2 at the withers, if you know what that means. Very tall horse. Unusually tall, the size of a Kentucky thoroughbred. And I walk right beside him. You want to see something really crazy, Vince? I walk in step with him, because deer are used to horses. So it kind of looks funny, you know, the pastor all in camo, and you got your crossbow, and you're leading this big horse in the dark. And when he takes a step, you take a step. He has four legs, so it gets a little complicated. Sometimes you get out of rhythm, and you got to catch yourself. But I walk him out to the stand. Now, Black, my new little colt that's going to take Cody's place, he's so sweet. I got to tell you this because it's funny. Next week's sermon will be better. But he's the cutest thing. He's my little colt, and he's just jet black. And I've taught him to kiss, because the kids just love that. The grandkids love that. I hold out a little grain, and give him a kiss. He sticks his nose up there, and he touches my nose. Most people don't want to touch noses with a horse, but I like horses. Well, that crazy nut, I'm trying to be quiet after all this work and walk out with Jake, and he's walking on the other side of me trying to kiss me the whole time because he thinks that he's going to get some grain. I'm dead serious. Mike, you like horses. Black's over here going and keeps hitting me in the face, and I'm like, let it. Get out of here. And he's trying to kiss me. I told Pam afterwards, I said, this is hilarious. I'm trying to quietly get the stand, and Black will not quit. And that's what I taught him to do. He's gonna, if I kiss him long enough, he'll give me some grain. So anyway, I go out to the stand. I get right by the fence. I got my cool little camo hat that has a light built into it that one of my boys got me for Christmas. Got a little light, soft light. And I step over onto the stand, and I go up 22 feet. I like my stands high. My stand's 22 feet. We don't ask for prayer for nothing. So I climb, and I let go of Jake. He does his thing. He trots right back over to eat his hay, and I'm sitting up there. And after I get up there, I tied my bow on before I pull my bow up in the dark, and I untie the string, and I put the arrow on. And I got to cock the bow, and you stand up in the stand. Don't do this, but stand up in the stand and put your feet down here in the crossbow, and you cock it, and it clicks into place. And then you sit down and you wait. Well, daylight comes. About, half hour after daylight, this doe comes out through the creek. I'm just behind the house. I even told Pam, I said, if I get a deer this morning, you may get to see it, because she's in the sunroom study. And this doe comes out, doe's a little too far, but I've been seeing this buck. So I wait and I wait and I wait. About 8:30, I hear rustling behind me in the leaves. I turn around, here comes this bad boy. And he's just got that rocking chair right up here on top of his head, and he's looking wonderful. And the sun's just coming up on his rack, and I see his rack first. And he comes, bounds over the fence, comes up there by my deer stand. I raise my crossbow, and I do what I've always done. Psst! Because they're not sure what that is, and it stops them. He stops, Kevin, right where all the branches come out. And he just stands there, majestically. There's no way I can shoot. All these branches, I can see him through the branches, but all these branches are through. And he stands there for just a minute. So I wait and I wait and I wait. He busts into a run, jumped the fence, and off he goes. Guess what came to my mind? The message I gave on giving thanks, regardless of what happens. Honestly, I was a little disheartened. I was disappointed. I'm going somewhere with this. I was disappointed, and I was a little sad, but I thought, you know what? It's okay. It's all right. I've had lots of success hunting over the years, and it's been fun. I've had some beautiful times. Psalms 27 says, gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. David said, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the presence of the Lord all the days of my life. Gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. This is a beautiful, beautiful morning. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful morning. Can I stop here and take a little exit? Okay. Take God with you everywhere you go. There would be people sitting in church this morning who would say this story I'm telling is crazy because they're not personal with God. God wants to go with you in all that you do. We compartmentalize. This is my exit ramp. I'm talking about something else. I'll come back to the story in a minute. We compartmentalize and we got God in this Sunday morning compartment, but He doesn't influence anything we do through the week. That's not the way it's supposed to be. That's why nobody believes in us. As God gets involved in your personal life, God wants to go horseback riding with you. He wants to go hunting with you. He wants to go fishing with you. He wants to go to the mall with you. He wants to be involved in your life. We sang the song, Jesus Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. When Jesus was born, His name shall be called, Christmas is coming up, His name shall be called Emmanuel. That's God with us. God wants to be involved in every aspect of our life. He wants to go to work with us. He wants to go on break with us. Unfortunately, we don't honor Him in all we do, and He wants to stay in the break room, but what we start talking about and participating in, He's grieved because He loves us, and He's not mad at us. He's not ready to mark us off the list, but He's like, I can't be part of that because He's pure. There's been a lot of legalism taught, especially in the central Midwest area over the years, and I grew up in that culture, and people don't get it. They don't understand. It's not about legalism, and you can't do this, and you can't, Christian can't do. No, honor God in all that you do. If I love that woman over here, and I'm devoted to her, and when those girls on the street in Chicago would throw advances, I'd say, I can't do that. What do you mean you can't do that? I love the Lord, and I have a wife that I love. I can't do that. You don't think I'm pretty? Yes, I think you're gorgeous, but I can't do that. In all I do, I honor Him. God wants to go to the workplace with us, but unfortunately, He has to leave in the break room because we're participating in all kinds of things and we're making compromises in areas that He's like, oh, honey, I want to be part of this, but I can't be part of that. You with me? We got this God thing all wrong. God wants to be involved in all of your life. And you might be an anti-hunter, and that's okay. I don't care. I see that side of it, but I do. I understand how people think and perception. But what I'm saying to you, we had to be careful in inner city Chicago talking anything about hunting because a lot of people are anti-hunter. And that's fine. The point I'm making, regardless of what your hobbies are and what you're about, God wants part of your life. If you go to a car show next weekend, as long as you're putting God first, say, Lord, as I'm there watching, looking at these muscle cars, now, give me some conversations. May you shine through me. God wants to be part of the details of our life. That's what a personal relationship with Jesus is. It's not about church. There were no steeples in the Garden of Eden. Church can greatly enhance it. I cannot tell you the value of church in my life over the years. There's no way of measuring it. The value of church in my life and attending church and being with other believers and how that's fueled me and kept me on track. But it's a personal relationship. All right, where was I in my story? Let's see. Oh, he ran off. So, I actually started singing under my breath so I wouldn't make any noise. You are so good to me. Kind of interesting, the next line, you heal my broken heart. But I was singing, you are so good to me. I thought, you know what? Hey. Then I said, Vince, I'm going to admit it in front of everybody. I said, Lord, you're very kind. You could bring him back. You know what he said? He answered me. He said, am I still kind if I don't? Yeah, that's what he said. I said, Lord, you're really kind. I was singing, you are so good to me. You heal my broken heart. And I said, Lord, you're really kind. You could bring him back. And he said, am I still kind if I don't? What if he doesn't do my agenda? Am I going to praise him anyway? What if he doesn't do my list for today like I thought, me, Mr. Important, thought it should be? Am I going to praise him anyway? So, you know what I said? I said, yeah, you don't have to bring him back. It'd be nice if you did. But you don't have to. And yes, you are kind anyway. That's what I said. About 15 minutes passed. Another doe came out. A little too far. turned, kind of looked, sized it up. Nah, a little small too. Kind of smaller deer. Not a good choice. 9:15. Brian, you ready? Uh-huh. You know where I'm going. Here he comes. He came back. Well, the day before, he'd run. He's following scent and going here and there. That's the one time white-tailed bucks are magnificent animals, and they're extremely keen. And that's the only time of the year during mating season where they drop their guard just a tiny little bit, because they'll sense you quick and they're gone. I heard a noise, and sure enough, here he came. Don, I was pretty excited. And I'm like, Lord, you're bringing him back. You're kind either way, but you're bringing him back. And under my breath, I lifted my crossbow, and I said under my breath, Lord, don't let me do something stupid. Anybody ever prayed that prayer? I know all the verses to that song. Lord, don't let me do something stupid. He comes out. He pops over the fence. He's going the other way this time. He pops over the fence. He stops right out in the open. Just stops right there. Put the crosshairs right on him. Boom. Shot underneath him, stuck it in the ground. Now, I'm not bragging, but I've taken 70 deer. Last November, my last deer was my 70th. So I've had favor in that area. I'm not a perfect shot, but I don't get rattled, and I don't get buck fever. I stuck that in the ground right below him. Off he went. He was from me to Barb. He's that close. He's less than 10 yards. Something died inside. I'm going somewhere with this. Stay with me. I stood up. I was shivering about this time. Been in the tree stand 2.5 hours. It's 18 degrees. I stood up and I said out loud, I'm not doing this to myself anymore. This is too much work. And I announced on hunting, I was quitting. Matt, that's what I did. I'm quit. I said out loud. Deer gone now, don't need to be quiet. I ain't doing this anymore, I said. I'm standing 22 feet up there shivering, and I said, I ain't doing this anymore. This is stupid. Why would a person do this to themselves? I quit. I said it out loud. Keep listening. This is a good story. Keep listening. I'm going somewhere with this. I quit. I mean, I was like Allie making the announcements. It was like, I don't know who I was telling, I guess the squirrels, I'm not sure, but I was like, I quit. I was emphatic. And I said, Lord, I'm not mad at you, but I think I'm done bow hunting. I only got to go twice, and then I pull a stunt like that. Good grief. Anybody took 70 deer, how in the world could you miss a deer that was that close? I'm not doing this anymore. Stay with me. Climbed down out of the tree, went over and got my arrow out of the ground. Way down the ground, pulled it out. It's always fun, you know. Nice job, son. I go back to the house. I'm thinking Pam's probably watched all of this. Actually, she probably would have cried if she had seen me miss it. She did see the deer running back and forth. I go up the house and I think, well, I should give the horses some grain. I didn't grain them this morning. I gave them hay, but Jake took me out to the stand. I need to give them some hay. So I walk out. I've only been up about 10 minutes. Pam's going to verify this is the truth, because you're going to think I'm lying. You're going to think he makes up these stories. But she's going to verify this is the truth. She was watching. I walk out to the feeder by the fence, Casey, and I dump grain in there, and I look up, and that buck is standing underneath the stand where I was. He came back. Pam, is that true? That's true. He was standing underneath the stand. And I looked at her through the window, and I went, and she's like, what? And then she saw him. All right, stay with me. Went in the house, took off all the layers of clothes, thinking, yep, I ain't doing this anymore. So cold, I thought, I'm going to fill a bathtub with scalding hot water and get in it and try to warm up. Because when you're 64, you get cold easier than you used to when you were 44. But I did say to the Lord when I got in the bathtub, I said, Lord, I know you're with me. I know you're with me and everything. But I said, I do have a question. Lord, it's okay. Got a question. And you don't have to explain it to me now. This is I'm not hamming this up so that it'll sound good to you. This is exactly what I said. I said, Lord, I'm not upset at you. I'm not upset at you. You know, this deer hunting's unimportant in the list of things in life. I mean, people we work with, that's what's important. But I do enjoy this, and I don't get to do it that much. So I said, Lord, I am curious about something. That's what I said. I said, Lord, as I got in the bathtub, I said, Lord, am I curious about something? I'm curious about something. I said, why did you bring him back the second time? And then when I miss, and I'm up at the house, you bring him back and put him underneath that stand. I know you don't tease us. You know, you don't enjoy teasing us. And turn on this page, please. The Lord said back to me, I would have kept giving you chances because I love you so much, but you announced you were quitting. I said to the Lord, Lord, I'm not upset at you. You've been good to me, and our ministry's been a wonderful thing, and deer hunting isn't near as important as all of that. But I am curious, why would you bring him back? I miss. And then when I go up to feed the horses, he's standing out there in the stand, and you brought him back a third time. Why would you do that? And he said, I would have kept giving you chances. I would have kept giving you chances. I would have kept giving you chances because I love you, but you announced you were quitting. This is for somebody. I thought, yeah, I did. It's a decision of the will. I stood up and said, I quit. And I did it announcement style. I stood there in my stand right out loud. He's gone now. I quit. Not doing this anymore. He said, I would have kept giving you chances. I love you. I'd have brought him back 14 times, which defies all the rules of deer hunting. You don't go over and get sand all over the ground, pull your arrow out and dig it out, and then walk back and he comes there and stands on top of it and smiles at you. That doesn't work that way. You hunt for months to get a shot at a buck like that. There's guys hunt their whole life. That's a nice buck. That's a real nice buck. I said, Lord, why? I'm not mad at you, but why would you do that? And he said, I would have kept on giving you chances, but you announced you were quitting. Whew, that's a powerful message. Anybody there? I'm quitting. Some might say, this whole thing of walking with the Lord doesn't seem fair. My life just doesn't seem fair. I'm quitting. And he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. He loves us. He is jealous for me. We sang the song a while ago. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. And he would keep giving us chances, but we announced we were quitting. We made the willful decision. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He was knocking on our life's door. He would come in and says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him. That's the old English word in the King James Version. It means to commune, a closeness. When you have a special dinner with your wife or a special dinner with your best friend, and it's a communing, it's a closeness. That's what he wants. Oh, how he loves us. Or are you at a point, I'm quitting on this marriage. I'm done. I've had it. And I don't know, and I want to be sensitive to that. Everybody's journey is different. I understand all that. But I know what the Lord said to me that day. I thought, Lord, why would you do that? I'm just curious. I'm not upset at you. I'm not mad at you. I'm not at all. Deer hunting is down here. It's unimportant compared to our working with people and their lives and their needs. It's an unimportant thing, but it is a recreation I enjoy. And it's something that usually isn't stressful. And I love being hidden in a tree stand 22 feet up in the leaves, and that feeling of just being alone, and God speaks to me through nature. Why would you do that? Why after I missed and go back to the house, would you bring this deer back and have him stand there? I know you're not teasing and trying to agitate me. Why would you do that? And he said, I would have kept giving you chances. I wouldn't just bring him once and twice and a third time. I would have kept giving you chances, but you announced you were quitting. Whew. Okay. I get it. What is it? This is for somebody. I had a different message prepared. I'm taking chances. There's people that are against hunting. I realize that. I'm not being cute, smart, Ellie. But I felt all weekend God kept saying, when I said, Lord, what is it you want me to say to the people? I've been preaching, pastoring 37 years, preaching for about 45 years, because I started preaching in my early 20s. Maybe I shouldn't have, but I did. So I can come up with something to say. As God gives me air and breath, I can come up with something to say. And so I always say, Lord, what am I supposed to say? You know who the mix will be. You know who will be here that given Sunday. What am I supposed to say? And all weekend he kept saying, tell the deer story. Tell the deer story. I would have kept giving you chances because I love you, but you announced you were quitting. What is it that you've announced? I'm quitting. I'm done with this. I'm fed up with this. I'm fed up with this relationship. I'm tired of this, of these trials and tribulations. I'm tired of praying for my kids and everything going backwards. And I'm, what is it? I don't know. I don't know. You change the next page, please. Not going to keep you very long. Things I learned from that experience, and I want to apply them spiritually. Do your homework. I probably was overconfident. I've taken 70 deer. I was probably overconfident. I only shot that crossbow twice. I only shot it twice, Brian. I thought, yeah, I can still hit with it. We're good to go. Don't do drive-through Christianity. Do your homework. Don't do drive-through Christianity. You need a meal daily from the Heavenly Father. You need the nutrition that comes from abiding in the vine and living in Him. You need to set that alarm clock a little earlier and not watch so many late shows and get up early enough and stay off social media in the morning and spend time with God, because these aren't easy days. We're in the time of the return of Christ. There's an unleashing of spirits, I believe, in America that most churches are missing. But I am going to say it without apologies. Prophetically, God revealed to me that, and I preached on that a few years ago, and I'm seeing it happen, an unleashing of spirits. There's a powerful force working in America, and people are getting sucked into it. I can't believe how people are getting sucked into it. There's an unleashing of spirits. You've got to have, you can't do drive-through Christianity. A burger and fry ain't going to get you by on this one. Do your homework. You know what I found out? After I got out of the warm bathtub and the old man got warmed up, I thought, let's take a nap and see if we can't forget some of this. So I took an hour and a half nap. Pam went to the rescue resort. I woke up an hour and a half later and had the house to myself. And as clear as anything, because I'd planned on using some more vacation time to hunt, I'm still thinking, how in the world can I shoot under a deer that's less than 10 yards in front of me? And the thought kept coming to me, go out and shoot that bow. Now, Brad, I hadn't done my homework. I'd only shot it twice. All right, you ready for my excuse? My bow was busted. My bow was cracked. I went out, set stuff on the hay wagon, propped up the bow so I wasn't holding it and moving it all, so it was stationary. Put a folding chair out there with a block of wood on top of it so I was setting perfectly right so I could look right through the scope and then not have to hold the bow, but it actually sat on the trailer, and set up two bales of hay with a target on it. And that shot over here, and next one shot over here, and next one shot over here, and then I realized there was a crack in the end of it, and the groove with the arrow loop, every time you pulled it back, that was pulling one way or the other. And that bow was off. I'm actually hinting to borrow somebody's crossbow. Just wrap nicely. The third shot, whap, it was extra loud. I thought, why is that so loud? Did it go through the hay and hit that wheelbarrow over there? And the cable then broke. And then I realized this thing's bad on the end. Do your homework. This isn't about a deer story, you know that. Deer stories are unimportant and that's it, they're fun, but this is about far more than that. We're in a day and age where we're fighting principalities and powers. Are you listening? Put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6, that you may stand against the wiles of the enemy. Actually, in that passage in the King James, it says the arrows of the enemy. He hides in camouflage. He likes to hide in the blinds where he's not seen. And you want to ire the devil, expose him. I've learned that in the ministry. If I get up here and tell a group of young Christians how to deal with the devil, which we've done the last few weeks, and even I had you were singing the song, I've Been Delivered, and I ask all of you to shout when we came to the part, the hold he has on me, he won't have no more. He ain't got no more is the actual bad English. And I told you last Tuesday, the day that I had, and when I brought it to the Lord said to me, he said, you just told a congregation of young Christians to stand up to the devil. These are days when there's lots of spirits working. You got to do your homework. Are you listening? I didn't practice that crossbow, or I'd have discovered that problem, and I'd have had it fixed or had a different crossbow, and I'd be up here preaching a sermon with that nice rack on the wall. No, I wouldn't. That's overdoing it. Do your homework. Number two, I'm going to be done here in a second. Just because you're experienced doesn't mean you can't make a critical mistake. Just because you're experienced doesn't mean you can't make a critical mistake. These aren't easy days. Some of you older Christians, listen, just because you're experienced doesn't mean you won't make a mistake. A man has taken 70 deer and hunted as much as I have, should not miss one 10 feet away. But I didn't do my homework. Or I'd have discovered that about my bow. And just because I'm experienced doesn't mean I can't make a critical mistake. A trick of the enemy is, you're an old guy at this. You've been doing this a long time. You'll be fine. Oh, yeah, you will. That doesn't work. You take that attitude and the enemy will have a bullseye on your back. Well, I've studied enough. I know all that stuff. I don't need. I've heard all that before. Oh, yeah, well, you know what? You need to hear it again. You need to hear it again. And sometimes people say, well, I don't want to hear the same thing again. Well, start doing what the first was, and then we'll go to something new. Peter wrote in the epistle and said, I want to stir up your mind by way of remembrance. He said, I'm telling you something you already know. I just want you to remember it. What happens? It needs to get back. It gets back here. It's got to get back out front. We got to live it out. Does that make sense? That's why we come together, to repeat to each other. Mark and I used to have fun. We'd get together and try to encourage each other, and we was going through a hard time raising our family, and we'd joke about how I'd tell him something, he's out down discouraged. 6 weeks passed, we get together, it'd all be reversed, and he'd tell me back what I said to him. It's about reminding each other, but really that is part of it. Just because you're experienced doesn't mean you can't make a critical mistake. Number three, God will keep giving chances, but I can't quit. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. Go to that first page, please. How many of you knew Sylvia Willis when she's living? Any of you know Sylvia Willis? Okay. Pam and I used to be real close to Sylvia, and I was her pastor for years. She gave me this. It's in my office. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, When the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, and every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up when the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. Don't quit. Go back to the second page, please. I would have kept giving you chances because I love you so much. But you announced. You made a willful decision, son. You stood up in that deer stand and you said, I quit. I'm quitting. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm done with this. You made a willful decision to quit. Third page. God will keep giving you chances, number three, but you can't quit. And four, I've already covered this. My weapon has to be in good shape and ready. I wasn't ready. I thought I was ready. Ephesians 6. I'm going to close with that. And then there's a passage in 2 Corinthians 10. Ephesians 6 is probably the passage we use the most in this church. Ephesians 6, verse 10. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. Did you know the devil studies you? Yeah. Yeah, he does. He studies you. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our vulnerabilities. He studies us. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood and those kind of enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. Bible says that the devil is the prince and power of the air. He lives in the atmosphere around the earth. We can't see him. It says the prophet's eyes were opened and he saw angels. I think sometimes animals can see things we can't see. I have been in the presence of demonic spirits before in inner city Chicago, working on the streets at night. And I felt something very strong but could see nothing, but the dog next to me was going crazy and growling at something, shaking and showing his teeth. And I think sometimes animals can see things we can't. Unseen world. The devil lives in another dimension. We're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground. Putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to this, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows. Interesting. Arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit. That's what I was working toward. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and then pray at all times in the Spirit. Do your homework. I'll go back with that and close with that. Do your homework. God's no respecter of persons. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. Tomorrow's the first day of the rest of your life. If you always do what you've always done, you will always get what you always got. We have people all the time, and bless their hearts, we love them to pieces. We want to help them. The Bible says, do a new thing. If you always do what you've always done, you will always get what you always got. And so we just keep hitting our head on the same pole and bloodying our brains, and then we say, everybody pray for us and help us, and then we hit our head on the same pole again. If you do the same thing you always have done, you'll get what you've always got. And Isaiah says, behold, I do a new thing. Do your homework. Tomorrow's the first day of your life. In an hour, your life, that's the first hour of the rest of your life. Start over. Put the past behind you. Stick to it. Do your homework. God will strengthen you. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. He'll encourage your heart. He'll enable you. And you'll look back and see, hey, I'm doing a new thing and things are changing. 2 Corinthians 5:17, a new creation in Christ. Old things pass away. All things become new. And you'll find newness of life. I know it works. People say to me sometimes, boy, you're passionate about this. Because it works. It works. And I wasn't being a smart aleck in court that day, but we go to court often with people. And I said, and I called him Your Honor, and I was polite, but it was an individual that's somewhat critical of the ministries that try to help people. And I said, sir, and so how's it working out the other way? Sir, honorable, honor those over you. How's it working out the other way? Doesn't look to me like it's working out very well, Vince. You got to get the change in here. Out of the heart come all the issues of life. The change has to be in here. People say it at the rescue resort, and we love the rescue resort. You know, is this drug rehabilitation? No, it's character rehabilitation. We believe that drugs are a substitute. Drugs and alcohol are a substitute for the Holy Spirit. God wants to give you comfort. God wants to heal your broken heart. But it's a process. You got to work into it. It isn't that he's slow. It's that you can't take it. If God gave you all his glory at once, he'd kill you. Yeah. When Jesus showed up in Revelation, John fell as a dead man. God gave you all his glory at once, he'd kill you. So God begins forming us and working with us, and he'll give us part of his glory, and we think, man, I do have a happiness I didn't used to have. I don't have it every day, but I do a lot of it. And then pretty soon you say, hey, I'm gaining on this thing. It's going better. I'm gaining on this thing. And you become a new creation. He forms you into his likeness. The problem we have with addictions isn't, that's a bad girl, that's a bad... No. That's not where we're at. It's a substitute for the Holy Spirit. God said, I will comfort you, but he'll do it in his process, and he'll do it in his own way, and he'll do it in his own timing, but you won't need to keep going back, and you won't have any hangover, and when he gets done, this thing will become part of you. It says, I'll not only give you the woman at the well that had been through five marriages and was in a mess. He said, I'll not just give you living water. I'll put the well inside you. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Yeah, I'll not just give you a taste of living water, ma'am. If you open that door, I'm knocking like a gentleman. I won't kick it open. I'm not going to make you do this. But if you'll open the door, I'll not only give you living water, I'll put the well inside of it, and it'll spring out of you, and before long, well, she saw that right away. She went back and called the town and brought the whole town to hear Jesus speak. You can be a new creation in Christ. This works. Why do I sell this so hard to sell? It's a terrible word. I don't have good vocabulary. This works. This works. It flat works. God can take men that were deep in addictions and in prison and make ministers out of them. He can take people who were near death. Kevin. Get in their heart. Send them an angel. Angie had the privilege. God can do incredible things. And he even does more visible things for the broken. Yeah. A lot of these stuck in the wool people been in church all their life haven't seen some of the miracles that people have seen that have come out of brokenness, because God specializes in broken hearts. And he'll show you stuff because he knows you need it. He'll show you stuff that maybe other people don't get to see. You say, Pastor, I'm not so sure that I agree with that theologically. Oh, really now? Who saw Jesus first when he rose from the dead? Mary Magdalene. She'd been a street girl. a prostitute and had seven demons. She came to Christ, became a follower of Christ, and when he rose from the dead, wouldn't you think it's pretty honorable to see the Lord first? Well, why wasn't it Peter? Why wasn't it John? Why wasn't it? It was Mary Magdalene. He's shouting something to us all through Scripture. You know who was in the line of Jesus? I'm talking about the lineage, genetically. You know who was in the line of Jesus? Bathsheba. David got in an affair with Bathsheba, and their son was Solomon. Don't tell me God can't turn things around for good. He can, and he can make a new creation in Christ. All right, that was the short story. It's 10 to 12. Let's stand together for prayer.